This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City.
Yowza.
This is John Massengill. That was Jonathan Green, but Les Kaiser is not in studio. He's having a...
Where is he?
He's not...
What's going on?
Look to your left. There's an empty chair.
Holy cannoli.
Oh, no. Oh, mayhem.
God. I'm going to take that file away from the producer.
No, don't. That's
mayhem. I'll just do it live then.
Yeah. Les is enjoying a happy Easter. And happy Easter, everybody out there.
Yes. Did you find any eggs, John?
My kids are finally, there's no egg hunting in my house anymore.
You know, I found out a story that I didn't really like. And it's 30 years on. And I think it's what scarred me. I found my sister, who is 4 years older than me, cheated the whole time. My father was in collusion, to use a word of the day, with my sister.
No collusion, no obstruction.
Well, that's just it. There was obstruction and collusion in my egg catching of Easter. And Easter now has a very different take.
That explains a lot
about
you.
I wander around gardens looking for eggs. In fact, I now wander around my parents near their golf course picking up eggs or golf balls in that case.
Oh, man, that explains
scarred.
A lot. You've been scarred for life. All right, we are going to talk some motorsports tonight. We have some awesome guests tonight. Let me run down what we got. We got Shay Holbrook.
Yeah,
because Jonathan spent some time at Road Atlanta this weekend. You just got back last night and ran into Shay Holbrook out there. And if you don't know Shay Holbrook, she is one of only two American women in the new W Series World Championship.
Yeah, really exciting. And they're 2 weeks away.
That's right, in May. So
first weekend in May, they will be racing at the mighty Hockenheim. And of course, as you know, that's one of the great Formula One circuits. It's a lot smaller than it used to be. But what a way to start. They're with DTM, and it's a whole new era for women in motorsport. I'm so excited for them.
Yeah, and you thought it was going to be a boring show because there's no Formula One, there's no IndyCar.
We're going young, baby.
Yeah, and we have some young drivers. We have Joshua Carr, who was also at Road Atlanta this weekend. He's going to call in here in about 15 minutes. And we have Austin Kazuba, who's more fun than his name is to say, and he's going to call in. And
I tell you, you cannot wipe the smile off this young man's face. I've tried. And so too are the stewards all weekend, but he won't lay down. I love it.
That's great. So these young American drivers in the America Formula 3 and Formula 4.
You know, you were saying Les isn't here. He's here in spirit. He's just texted me. Don't forget to mention Beers and Gears this week. It's horsepower and racing.
That's the theme. So if you have a high horsepower car or a race car.
Benefiting a horse rescue as well.
Okay, and that is Wednesday night at Sellis Brewery.
Yeah, it's starting to really tick along, isn't it? I'm really enjoying it.
I know, we have a really good turnout.
And now the sun's out.
Yeah, the sun is out. They're going to be able to see the cars better at night because we get there about 6 o'clock and stay till the beer's empty and the cars are gone like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yep, and you can bring your pets, you can bring your dog if you want. There's plenty of room. It's a dog-friendly bar.
All right, well, let's jump into our... hold on. we're waiting on... We're going to get the Shay Holbrook interview queued up. But, Jonathan, set up the weekend a little bit out there.
Okay, so this was the first weekend of Formula 4 and the second weekend of Formula 3. Now, the SCCA Pro runs both series. They both are capable of scoring FIA points towards super license points, which is kind of cool. And remember, you need 40 plus to get a Formula One super license. So all of these kids, and they are just that, from like, 16 to 30, I suppose. But basically, these are the young up-and-coming guys straight out of karting. In fact, Christian Brooks, I don't know if you remember him from Rallycross, he joined the series for the first time and was very quick indeed. I think we'll be getting him on the show. But basically, it was the first round, and I tell you what, it was really, really hard because it started off with a beautiful day and they had a promo day where effectively they just went out and tried the cars out, which was perfectly dry. And then they had practice on Friday, and then the heavens opened, and literally we didn't get qualifying in. So for some of these guys, then their first weekend at a karts in a race car at one of the hardest tracks in America, and you know Road Atlanta with all the undulation and hills. So imagine heavy, heavy rain, no qualifying, straight into the race.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, this is so exciting. Again, you know, we've been following the formula, US F3 and US, or US F4, and now the US F3, which is
it's
newer.
F3 Americas and USA, or F4 US Championship. And the exciting thing is, you mentioned Shay and the W Series. The car, the F3 car they're using is what they'll be racing in the W Series. So it's the new F3 car. So a lot of the girls have actually been doing testing, and Shay has now joined the F3 Championship as well. So she is, this last weekend, honing her skills basically in preparation
basically
for
car.
What she's racing for.
No, do you know, are they still running the same Honda turbocharged motor?
No, it's a different. It's a Tatus chassis.
Oh, so it's similar, but it's
not
identical.
What I'm getting at,
okay,
it's the same kind of car,
similar, yeah,
and the same sort of spec. So the bottom line is, you should be able to transition almost immediately.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear the interview you did with Shay Holbrook right now.
Well, Shay, welcome to Speed City. It feels like we've been chasing you around the world for the last few months, but you have been a busy girl and you've been going around the world. We're here at Road Atlanta where you've just done F3 for the weekend. Sum up your weekend. It was kind of up and down?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like I have been around the world and back. I just came from Germany on Wednesday to make the next rounds for F3 Americas. Really happy to be back in the paddock. You know, the W Series stuff has been really cool and the hype around that, and it's definitely, you know, encouraged me to just, you know, keep at it and, you know, do everything 10 tenths. And coming in and having the opportunity in F3 is, you know, I don't want to use it as, like, say, practice for the W Series, because I mean, ultimately that's, you know, that's kind of the holy grail for me this season. You know, the Momentum Motorsport team, F3, I just can't thank them enough for the opportunity, because, you know, it's not just, you know, seat time, but this is very competitive here in the States, and I really give it out to, I guess, the kids, because I'm a little bit older than some of these guys. But, you know, the talent here is really good. Coming into the weekend, you know, I was definitely a little bit, you know, jet lagged from going to and from, you know, race to race, and Europe to back to the States. And, you know, we took a little bit of time to get up to speed, which was a little bit frustrating for me initially. And we really put our, you know, we really put it together come race one of the weekend. Conditions here have been really difficult. We had rainy conditions, wet conditions, hot conditions to really cold conditions, you know, 80 degrees to 50 degrees. So the team has really been doing a really great job of just, you know, prepping this car. And I honestly would venture to say that, you know, we probably had two of the fastest cars on track this weekend, especially when it came to overall setup. My number 67 Lucas Oil Bubba Burger machine was great. You know, I didn't need my cool shirt system, especially in the single seater, but it was good to have some hot and cold conditions. You know, the first race, you know, I wanted to see us do a little bit better. We had like more of a mid-pack type finishing. Second race was one hell of a drive. I was really proud of our performance and our finish, finishing, you know, in the top five. P4 was a solid race finish for us. And, you know, our qualifier for that race going into the final race of the weekend ended up putting us P8. And P8 was only 4/10 off of P1. So a very competitive field. Actually, the spread was all within a second. My teammate Kent, who has just been a really cool kid to work with, and he's got a great head on his shoulders. You know, we're learning from each other, and ironically, where, you know, I'm fast, he's a little bit slower, and where he's fast, I'm a little bit slower. So it's actually a really great trade-off. And we set up our cars, you know, somewhat similar. And then, you know, the last race of the weekend, gosh, I wish I could go back and relive just one moment and redo one moment of that race, because very competitive running, I think, you know, as high as, I think at that point we were probably running 7th or 8th, and you know, I made contact with another driver, I don't recall who it was, in 10B, you know, we went side by side into the break zone, where actually I've been into 10A really strong the entire weekend, and was able to get some passes done there, and just went too wide all the way into the break zone into 10A, and I thought maybe, you know, he'd leave me a little bit of room and I could squeeze it in 10B and kind of do an under over and go side by side and see who chickens out first, you know, into 12, and it just didn't work out, and so I apologize for, you know, the contact, but it was good clean racing up until that point. And you know, I actually wasn't feeling too good, you know, physically. You know, I was coughing a lot in the car, and I think I'm just, you know, a little bit tired. Mm-hmm. This is actually my 7th straight day in a Formula 3 chassis. So my body needs some rejuvenation.
Yeah, no kidding.
but I'm not complaining. I mean, trust me, it's not a complaint.
Nobody complains about seat time.
Yeah, no, never. And, you know, so we, you know, I think I fell off the pace there a little bit, and then all of a sudden I saw the carrot out in front and was able to, you know, click, you know, from what I'm understanding, click off some pretty good lap times and chase down the guy in front. And I think I don't know what happened in the front of the pack, but, you know, even though we were a little bit towards the back of the pack, I think we might have had, gosh darn it, probably the best race finish, because I don't even know what the 100th or 1,000th, it had to have been 1,000th, not even. I mean, he must have had... He had maybe a foot on me on the finish, and we were side by side at the finish. So definitely a good show for F3 Americas. Definitely a good show for momentum and looking forward. You know, no pun intended, but looking forward to, you know, build upon this momentum going into, you know, maybe some future races, because we'll see how this all shakes out. Whether I am able to do some return races, you know, maybe the rest of the season, or focus on W Series stuff. We'll see what it holds.
And when does that W Series kick off for the fans listening? Obviously, we want to follow you. We want to follow Americans wherever they are. But this is exciting times for you and for all the girls that are taking part in this.
Yeah, definitely a really exciting time for motorsports in general. And we kick off at Hockenheim the first round of the season, the first weekend of May. So I've got about, a week and a half, 2 weeks of break, which, you know, it won't quite be a break for me. I'm still traveling kind of, you know, state to state, plane to plane. But very excited about the opportunity. And I mean, you know, I know some people are really for, you know, the concept, and some aren't, and you know, the ones that aren't for the concept, I just, you know, say give it some time. Yep. you know pay as much attention as you wish to it, because I mean the unlimited resources that are provided to us is just, I mean, I just can't think of another opportunity in the world, and even in the past, that has been provided to us. And, you know, us women are very fortunate and lucky. And, you know, the whole purpose was, you know, to aid in more female involvement and, you know, giving girls the opportunity, because I've always been one to believe that, you know, you got to be as resourceful as you can, and you got to, at times as well, you know, right place, right time kind of comes into it, and you got to just have relentless work ethic and perseverance, and everybody at some stage in their career will have the odds stacked against them. And in my, you know, 10-year, 11-year career now, is, you know, I always had the odds stacked against me just simply because of my upbringing in the industry. I didn't have one. I don't come from a generational motorsport background. I didn't come from an affluent background. We really had to, you know, bootstrap our way through all of this. And, you know, it took me a little bit longer to have this type of opportunity at this level. But I'm glad to have it now rather than never. But, you know, women, I think, you know, there's some cap sometimes. I think, you know, when somebody's doing really well, when a female's doing really well, you know, you're put on a pedestal. If you're not doing as well, if you're mid-pack or lower, you know, well, then they're not very good. And it's like, well, what about the rest of the freaking guys behind me? You know, I was better than them. So I think, you know, women are put under a little bit of a magnifying glass, which is a good and a bad thing. And, you know, I can tell you, it's a very open and transparent what's happening in the W Series within the organization. So I know exactly, you know, who's quick. I can see their data. I can view their video. We have the exact same allotment of time in the engineering rooms. It's very transparent and unbelievably competitive. I mean, there are 10 girls in that series right now that are positioned extremely well for this.
I was going to say, that was one of the things that sort of come out of all of this. You guys have been whittled down from a group of 55. Sometimes looking down at that list, there was a lot of names there that, you know, we knew very well. Jamie Chadwick, yourself, and a few others. But there were others we'd never heard of.
Right.
And then suddenly it's now whittled down and you are effectively racing in a genuine world championship to be the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a really cool thing to be a part of, you know, the inaugural season. And yeah, I mean, Jamie Chadwick is a familiar name in motorsport, and as she should be, because she's really quick. She's very determined. She's a bright
Aston Martin there, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. with her just recent news with Aston Martin. I mean, she's poised and positioned very well, and she deserves it. She works really hard. You know, other names that have been out of the scene for a while, but everybody knows is quick, is like an Alice Powell. Mm-hmm. Alice, you know, has proven to be quick time after time, you know, after every practice session and test session leading up into Hockenheim. I'm a big fan of hers as well. I'm glad to see her back in a seat, because, you know, she is an example and I'm an example of, you know, somebody that might not have, you know, the funds all the time to position ourselves, you know, for the greatest success, you know, to be on like a world stage. And you know, W Series is giving us that world stage. And so it's our responsibility to represent not just ourselves, but the series and the associates and women in general well. And the best way that we can do that is put on good performances and have a successful inaugural season. And you hope that this continues, you know, not just for me selfishly, but for down the road. I mean, this is just a really, really cool, super unique thing. And though I know they'll be announcing television broadcast, you know, to be announced, but all I can, from the murmurs that I've heard, it's going to be really, really, really good for all of the world, and you'll be able to view it all over the world easily.
That's great news. You know, on Speed City, we're always looking for the next American to come up. Now, we do Indy, we do Formula One, but we're definitely going to do the W Series, because where do you think you can do? Can you win this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to be frank. Like, I think for sure I have the capabilities of winning. I think that the competition is stacked. I mean, I think it will be a
very... Who's your competition? Come on.
God, I mean, everybody.
You mentioned
is.
Jamie. Who
yeah,
else?
Yeah, I mean, Jamie, Alice, Byska. Gosh, I mean, who else is there? There's everybody. You know, even a good friend of mine, Sabra Cook.
Yes.
You know, another fellow American. She's quick. She's you know, voice very
Megan
well.
So you're here with Megan today?
Yeah, Megan Gilles is here today. Giltz?
Mm-hmm.
Megan Giltz. Sorry, I can't. Sometimes I forget some of their last names. but yeah, everybody at that level is good. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, nobody's bad. Nobody shouldn't be there. Everybody, all 18 drivers earned their spot to be there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there was probably some hard decisions too, because there were some other girls that, you know, were good, but, you know, maybe just didn't, you know, shine in the way that they needed to on a given moment or a given day. And that's what makes this industry hard. You know, you're racing against the clock. It's a competitive industry. You know, some things, you know, in Spain at the final eliminations, you know, there were some mechanical things that happened with my car that actually nobody even really knows about. And I won't really go too much in detail, but, you know, I lost a lot of track time simply due to just mechanical stuff.
Sure.
You know, we had brand new, beautiful Tatis chassis, and, you know, we were, you know, high-tech the team in the series as a whole. They were learning just as much as we were as drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, so I leave, you know, really pretty pumped up about our performances, and although like that last race today didn't really, you know, aid in the result that we were capable of, a lot of lessons were learned. And I think, you know, as people are watching this over Europe and what I'm doing here stateside with F3 Americas, and I know they're watching, so I know my competitors are watching too, it's important to just, you know, stay poised and, you know, keep at it and have the time of my life. You know, it's a dream come true. For me, it's like, this is the American dream.
Good for you, Shay Holbrook. We'll be watching you on Speed City. Thank you for talking to us, and best of luck at Hockenheim in Germany.
Thanks so much, and I hope to be back on the show, because I like talking to you guys all the time. You're good people.
She's a good girl. I like her.
You know what? This W Series thing, we've been talking about it, and it's about to be real in 2 weeks here in May, and we're going to get the television announced. What, any...
Well, probably this week. And you know what? The reality of it, this is, I mean, I said it in the interview, this is effectively a world championship for women, and these girls are going to go at it. It's free entry, but the prize money could be, like, should be career-changing, and they're not, they're with DTM.
And the exposure.
And the exposure. They're with DTM, and they're going to Hockenheim, Assen, Brands Hatch. This is
real.
With
DTM, yeah, you're right. That's a big deal being with them, too.
Meanwhile, Shay will be racing here in F3, so will... And Saber Cook, I was trying to get Saber Cook on the show tonight. She's already over there in the UK, so I'm going to get her next week.
Middle of the night now.
And Megan Gilkes is another one, and we'll hear from her. I spoke to her. We'll have her on next week.
She's a Canadian?
She's a Canadian, 18-year-old, but she too is going to be in the... So we've got three representatives from North America, and there's ones from Australia and Poland and Britain, and, you know, great.
Well, let's talk to our next guest, because the phone line just popped up, and you were in Atlanta again, Road Atlanta. This yesterday, so set up our next guest.
Well, he is an Australian. He's a good kid. He's from Sydney, Australia. He's now living here in Dallas, Texas, and racing in Formula 4. And he is kicking butt, as we say here in the United States. His name is Joshua Carr.
That's not Carr. That's not his real name for a race driver.
Well, hey, I don't know. Maybe he, you know, maybe it's a pseudonym.
Let's bring him on. Joshua Carr, welcome to Speed City.
Hello, everyone. I'm doing well. I'm really excited to be on there today.
Well, great. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's been a cool last couple of days we've had in Atlanta. You know, I just flew back home last night, got back around 1 a.m. in the morning.
Now, wait a minute. Just, let's stop you there. You flew home and the rest of the team drove home.
Yeah, so it was a pretty cool deal we had, actually. The dinner before, the night before the last two races, the boss, Patrick Flynn, said, "You know, Josh, if you can win tomorrow, I'll get your flight home." So we took on it, and he went through with the deal.
That's awesome. You got to fly home while everybody else rode in the trucks.
So originally I was going to be helping driving the camper van home, but yeah, I got a better deal, that's for sure.
Josh, let's talk about the weekend. I was obviously there every moment. I loved it, by the way. Fantastic to be around the team and go through the ups and downs, the highs and lows. It's one thing to be in the commentary box, which I'll be next time, but it's another to really feel the up and downs. And, you know, you got pole position, but the weather and all sorts of things were going on. Tell us about your weekend.
Yeah, you know, it was quite a tricky one. Like, it started very well. We were super fast in the practice session. We topped both of them on the Thursday. So, you know, we're really looking forward to some good racing. And then on the Friday morning, it was pouring rain. So the whole morning was cancelled. So we just spent all day waiting, you know, in anxiety, waiting to get on track, you know, constantly looking at the track conditions, wondering if it's going to be wet, how wet is it going to be, you know, going over data from previous wet rounds. And then by the time we were out on track, it was pretty much dry, but they sent us out all on wet tires. So the race was really dramatic. The tires were melting pretty much because of the dry track. Everyone's searching for any wet spots to keep their tires cool. But yeah, that race ended up not going as well as we thought. I had a good lead in the start, but a red flag, a car just burst into flames. I'm not sure how, but I'd never actually seen that before. When I came around on the pace car, there was a car just burning up in flames. The driver was okay, luckily. But yeah, it was quite a eye-opener. I hadn't seen that in modern racing for you know, a while. And then on the restart, Teddy Wilson got me on a big slipstream, you know, but hanging tough. I was racing with him for the whole rest of the race. And on the last lap, it was Christian Brooks, Teddy Wilson, and I going down the back chute three wide. But yeah, into the last chicane, I got, you know, put out wide on the outside and just couldn't get in line. So we ended up finishing third in that race.
But then you got the victory.
Yeah, well, the victory came on Sunday. You know, we started from seventh. The race was fully dry, so I knew we had the speed. So I just had to, you know, be patient and make good decisions with my overtake. And we really quickly got through the field. You know, we're in the lead probably by lap 7, 8. And I tried to push hard, try and get a little bit of a gap. My teammate Arthur Leith is very fast, and I could see him, you know, hanging in my mirrors, probably, you know, 1 second or so behind. But I just tried to break him. But then, you know, another safety car came. I'm not sure why. I think a car just spun off into the gravel, you know. But it was a new rules for safety car restarts this year. There was a designated zone where you had to get onto the throttle to start the restart. With the previous years, it was, you know, you just had to not be able to overtake the safety car so you could go, you know, in the middle of a chicane, wherever you wanted to.
Yeah, like Formula One, but this is sort of, there's a zone now, isn't it?
Yeah, the zone, it's quite tricky because the drivers, you know, they know when you're going to get in the throttle because it's a very predictable area. So, you know, you have to try and make it slightly different each time to throw them off. You know, at first I went right at the start of the acceleration zone and I got a little bit of a jump on him, but then I knew I had to change it up because he was going to be expecting that for the second one because we had another safety car straight after. And then we ended up finishing that race under yellow. But, you know, it was awesome to get the win. Try and get the first win out of the season is always the hardest. So to get that done at the first round was great.
Well, so where does this put you in the championship after a third place and a win?
Yeah, I'm second at the moment by
awesome.
By 6 points. So, you know, yeah, it's a really good start. The highest we've ever been in the championship. A real big bunch of points, 52 out of a possible 75. So, yeah, very, very happy.
Well, I got a question for you from Australia coming to the U.S. F3, F4. I mean, that we've been watching these, but what made you decide to come here to do the racing?
Yeah, so my sort of whole career has been leading to the U.S. I don't really know why, but it's just my kart team that I race for in Australia, the chassis was built in the U.S. So I came and did some races in the USA for the karting team. For example, I raced at the Las Vegas Super Nationals for two years.
Yeah, big one.
I won in 2017, so that's how, you know, I started getting aligned with the Formula 4 team over here.
That's really cool. And of course, I guess it's a good question to ask because there is a burgeoning F4 championship in Australia. Some good talent. I met some of it at the Toyota Series. So, yeah, it's a big decision. And you are pretty much on your own. I mean, you, like you mentioned to me that, you know, the guys are looking after you, which is great. But it's a big step.
Yeah, like, you know, you've got to leave a lot of things, big sacrifices you have to make to, you know, move over as a racing driver. But, you know, it's been my dream ever since I was little. So, you know, I'm prepared to do anything to try and make this dream work, you know.
Well, we got two questions for you. And I'll give you the easy one first because, my question is, Ricardo, you're an Australian. You watch Formula One. Ricardo, right decision or wrong decision?
I think long-term, it's going to benefit. I think, you know, Red Bull has been this third-place team, you know, ever since he's sort of gone there. And they've got a lot of new emerging stars that are coming through. And, you know, I don't think he's getting quite the number one treatment. You know, he had a lot of bad luck in his last season there. But the Red Bull community really loves Max Verstappen. So it was going to be very hard to, if the car was to be, you know, super competitive, to be the one to get the championship, you know. So now he's moved to Renault. He had a bit of a tough start to the season where it didn't quite go well in Australia, and Bahrain had mechanical failure. But China was a solid round, qualified, you know, P6 or P7, and finished P7 in the race, solid plan. So I think he found his momentum there, his base. And I think, you know, if there's some crazy races during the year, he might see him up in, you know, fifth, fourth place. So,
but you think long-term Renault will come good?
Yeah, I think they're making, you know, improvements every year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them, yeah, constantly fighting for a podium in the next, you know, 2 years or something like that.
Good answer. Yeah. All right.
We're talking to Joshua Carr. We're at one last question before we run out of time.
Is that his real name, do you think? Do you think he just said, right, I'm going to change my name to Carr when I come over to America? Because then I'll remember me. That's why I like Scott Speed.
Yeah. That's not my question. Yeah.
Will Power. That's it. You called Will Power up, didn't you? And you said, hey, Will, I'm not going to steal your name, but can I have Carr?
My question is, we ask drivers a lot of time, what do they drive every day? But Jonathan told me that you're in Dallas and you're driving a Alfa Romeo Giulia. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I'm pretty
Does
lucky.
It have the...
Hang on, let him answer.
The question is, does it have the shamrock on the side? Is it that version?
Yes, for sure. It's the quadrifoglio.
Oh.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah. Quadrifoglio. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's like 505 horsepower, amazing handling.
See, I went to school in Dallas, so late at night, you could just between...
Central Expressway.
Central Expressway between just Greenville and South. I could... Yeah.
How did you end up getting to drive that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a few cars here, and you know, that's this thing that I drive around every now and then.
Oh, so you're just keeping the motors warm, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much all, huh?
What's he got?
So he's got that Alfa Romeo. He's got a
Ferrari 458.
Woo! You don't go out in that. Please don't tell me you go out in that.
Not too often. No. But yeah, occasionally. Hopefully I get to drive it. I leave this Saturday and I ask if I can drive it one more before I go back home, you know, just to say I did it. But yeah, I do it every now and then, which is cool.
Well, Joshua Carr, we appreciate you coming on. Best of luck this season.
Yeah, stay in touch, really.
Yeah, give us a call back, and but we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll keep pushing, and yeah, I'll quiz up again. No worries.
See you in Pittsburgh, yeah?
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have the fun and exciting Austin Kazuba.
Texas boy.
Texas race driver. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey, beer people. It's Christine Sellers.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellers Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Cellus doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Cellus White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Cellus, Austin's original craft brewery.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370.
Just like fire, turning up the way, rocking the world up for just one day. Watch this madness, gonna push a ray.
Hi, this is Rusty Wallace, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Rusty Wallace bringing us back in pink.
Pink!
The music is pink.
Yes, pink.
I know.
You thought it was Floyd, didn't you? You thought Pink Floyd. You were like, oh my God, Formula One's got Pink Floyd.
I texted Jonathan and said, Pink Floyd is going to be the band for Formula One.
No, but Pink will be good.
Yeah, I think. I just looked up Pink on YouTube because I was like, I know them. And
that on the interweb?
And one of the first songs I saw had like almost a billion views on YouTube. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Listen, they do it right. But Mars, you know.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars was a huge hit. Stevie Wonder, come on, we have the big ones.
Yeah, Formula One, Aaron Austin has figured it out right. Coda has done a great
job. And that's November 1st to 3rd. And what we're trying to explain is if you come to Formula One in Austin, you get to go to the concerts. It's Imagine Dragons and Pink.
And it's Imagine Dragons Friday night and Pink's Saturday night. Instead of, you know, they were doing them on Sunday night. I like it better this way. I think most people do too. It's a lot of people want to travel out on Sunday after the race. So, hey, we've got a race driver on the line that has been, he was with us, what, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think, yeah.
And he was just thrown into the car and really exciting to have him
typical
back.
Typical Texas boy, you know, hey, give me, I'll drive it.
That's right, he's Texas boy, and he said, come on now, let's do this. So Austin Kazuba, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time no talk.
Exactly.
How's it going, man?
Oh, it's pretty good. Just got home this morning, actually, and got to spend the day with family and enjoy a nice dinner. So, yeah, it's been great.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Well, how was your weekend? I was sitting here looking on my notes and in the notes for the show, and so I have to do this, Austin. It said Austin Kazuba podium, and then it scratched out. What the heck happened?
Well, it's a long story, but it...
We got time. Les isn't here.
Yeah, essentially, the bottom line is we came in underweight, and rules are rules. If it's, you know, a pound or 20 pounds, it doesn't matter. So,
you got third place. Let's explain that. A great race, and you were underweight.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was unfortunate, but, you know, things like that happen, you know. I guess more fortunate, you know, the car was in one piece. There was a lot of carnage that race. We showed good pace. I learned. I got more comfortable. So, you know, those are the takeaways that you know, we try to take from it.
And, you know, and going into race three, that, you know, actually, you know, we started from the back and ended up making our way up to fifth in race three. So, you know, it wasn't terrible. You know, it was just that much more experience. I mean, it's definitely different being in traffic in these cars versus anything I've ever been in that doesn't have downforce. So, you know, it's really good experience. And you know, I learned from that a lot more than just kind of starting up front and running by myself or however, you know, that could have panned out. So, you know, I'm still really pleased with how everything went this weekend.
No, that's the right attitude because, I mean, look, I want to ask you again, I want you to tell everybody about your career and how quickly this has all taken place. But yeah, you come away from the weekend, you know, you were fast. You did a lot of things right. Yeah, you had the penalty, but that is racing. So yeah, that's the right attitude. But yeah, tell everybody how your racing history and especially the recent stuff getting into the series.
Yeah, so, I mean, like we talked about before, you know, I started in motocross, and that was kind of what I stuck with, you know, growing up in my younger years, and actually didn't get into a go-kart till I was 17, almost 18. So I knew I wanted to be in a race car, so we kind of tried to get as much karting as we could in a short amount of time and learn some racecraft and get all that good stuff down. And then, you know, we found the F4 series, and it was a good platform. It was perfect for me, and we did that for a few years, and boom, here we are racing F3 now. So you never know. You know, honestly, I never had any expectations on how far or how long I would race cars, et cetera. And, you know, it's weird. It's just every year it kind of it keeps going. So I'm loving every second of it, too.
Yeah, F3 America, this is a serious race car now.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, the possibility of FIA points as well, which is really huge. That's, to me, the biggest part, is that it's part of the FIA. And, you know, these are points towards super license points. So, you know, as you progress, you become almost a higher status the more points you can get and potentially people wanting to take you on.
Yeah, and it's so cool having a platform like that, as accessible as it is to us in the States, because otherwise, you know, you're spending huge money trying to achieve that in Europe, and it's from a financial standpoint, you know, it's amazing, you know, and also from obviously a logistics standpoint, you're not hopping over the pond every week to go race, so it's really awesome having this here this close.
You know, hey, Austin, I got a question for you. We had Shay on earlier, and you were pretty much wheel-to-wheel with her a lot of the weekend. How good do you think it is to have this W Series for her and the other girls?
I think it's phenomenal, and, you know, honestly, I think Shay's going to do great. I'm rooting for her. You know, I actually got, like you said, to race with her a lot this weekend, and it's, you know, I was really impressed with her racecraft, actually. She's races really hard, but she's clean. You know, it's she's as good as anybody I've ever raced, and it's a pleasure racing with her. So I'm really rooting for her to do well over there.
Good, and I'm glad you put it that way, because I think she's going to continue in America's F3 Americas, and I think that it's going to only. She was telling me she'd been 7 days in an F3 car, so she's 2 weeks away from going to Hockenheim. Really good news. So let's go back to you. Obviously, like you say, I spoke to you just after the race, and now I guess, I mean, I don't know where you are on the championship, but it's. I mean, you're now in contention, and you've got to keep going now, surely.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's 100% the plan. I mean, the only thing confirmed right now is that we're pushing to be at Pittsburgh. So, you know, we're not 100% sure yet, but, you know, we're definitely trying to make it happen and trying to make the rest of the season happen as well. So, yeah, this weekend, honestly, it put a lot of wind in our sails, you know, even though we had that little mishap, you know, it's definitely, okay, you know, this is something we can do and we can be really good at and successful with as well.
You know, on the podium was also Parker Locke. Remember him from the Toyota Racing Series? Yep. So we had two Texans on the podium this weekend. So that's kind of cool. I don't know if you know Parker, but he's another guy from down the road away from San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, I've actually gotten to race with Parker for a few years now. And it's funny, you know, it's there's those guys that you race with that, you know, it's inevitably how it happens. You're never on the same part of the track as them, or, you know, something. You never really get to race them. And it was the first time this weekend I really got to, like, race Parker, you know, and there was multiple times we were next to each other on the grid. And, you know, it was really cool because we both kind of started back of the pack at the beginning of the first race, because obviously qualifying was canceled, so they used where we were in the championship. So me and Parker both kind of started at the back, and it was really cool to see us both progress and go forward, you know, at the end of the weekend together. So he's a phenomenal kid. I've never actually gotten to spend a lot of time with him, so it was a pleasure racing with him as well.
Let me ask you this, as a Texan, what advice would you give? I mean, we've got a lot of dads listening in and probably a lot of kids wondering, yeah, you know, I'd love to do that. That'd be fun. So what would you do if you were in Texas? Where do you go if you've got a 10-year-old or a budding, you know, wannabe kazooba? what advice would you give them in terms of starting out?
I mean, I guess starting out, obviously everybody says karting, but, you know, I think that is really the place to start. In my opinion, anyways, and that being said, and the reason that, I mean, yeah, you can get into a race car early, but you can't do it all the time. And that's one thing I do miss about karting, and I loved about karting, and, you know, is that you can every single weekend you're at the go-kart track, you know, whereas a car, you know, a test is a lot bigger deal logistically, you know, financially, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's I would definitely say, start at the go-kart track because you can do it all the time. And on top of that, you know, from a father-son perspective, I mean, I will never forget the memories me and my dad have made karting and, you know, racing in general. So it's, you know, it's something where, you know, it kind of builds a bond that, you know, a lot of other sports don't, because where with baseball and football, those kind of things, you know, a lot of times the parents kind of watch from the fence and the coaches take over. Whereas as karting is not necessarily as much that way. It's more hands-on and it's definitely a family sport.
Man.
And your dad's still there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Hamilton's father played a huge part in his career. They had their times and up and downs, but, you know, like you say, it's special time to be able to spend.
I know. I'm sitting here thinking, my two boys, that's really tugging at the old heartstrings. But yeah. Hey, so what about simulator racing? What about, you know, video gaming and stuff? Do you do any of that?
So I don't actually have a sim. And, well, I mean, I say that. I do. I don't play it. I have a buddy that has a quite expensive sim that I'll go to his place and basically just run laps. As far as racing, I don't really race with them, but weeks coming up to a race, I'll definitely, you know, start lighting up his phone and, you know, getting over there in the evenings and just learning tracks and that kind of thing. But as far as actually racing on the sim, unfortunately, I mean, I don't necessarily have a ton of time, a lot going on outside of racing as well. So, it's one of those things that, you know, between now, obviously graduating college, I have a job and, you know, between that and going to the gym and staying in shape and the other nitty gritty things that pop up here and there, you know, it's, I don't have a whole ton of time for that, unfortunately, but you know, it's something that, you know, in the future, yeah, I definitely like to get more into it.
Yeah. I know everybody likes to do at least what you said is go learn the track a little bit. At least you can do that much with it. So where'd you graduate college with? What degree?
Oh, actually, I graduated with a marketing degree, and
hey, that's helpful in the sport.
I was going to say, yeah, that'll help with sponsorship.
And you know, it's pretty funny. Like, I coming out of high school, you know, I just kind of started karting, and I was like, man, you know, I really like this stuff. You know, I think it's something I'd like to do. And you know, everybody's thing is, well, you know, if you want to race for a long time, learn how to raise money and be good at marketing and learn how to talk to people and build relationships. And I was like, okay, well, you know, that sounds a bit like a marketing degree. You know, I'll get one of those. that was kind of my plan going into that. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, a lot of it doesn't apply to racing, but a lot of it does. And, you kind of have to look at it as, you know, put it in the perspective of racing. And a lot of it really does apply.
I got to ask another question. So you're from Burleson. How big's Burleson?
So it's a suburb of like the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's about 40,000 people in Burleson.
So it's basically outside of Fort Worth. I mean, it's almost a part of it, isn't it?
So when you're hanging in Burleson,
yeah, part of it.
So when you're hanging in Burleson and, you know, you're shooting the breeze, so do you just kind of like, you know, saunter over to a girl and go, what do you do? I'm a race car driver. I mean, come on.
No, so I've actually never used that line.
What? Well, okay, we need to have a long chat.
No,
call me back after you go off the air because we need to talk.
I've been fortunate enough to not need it, Jonathan.
Okay. Yeah, fine. Yeah, now I'm definitely going to call you. Because you're in trouble now. good for you.
So the cool part about, you know, where I live is it's kind of, it's on the edge of the Metroplex and kind of where you're getting out to what folks down here refer to as the country. So, you know, 20-30 minutes from here, there's great places to duck hunt and bass fish and, you know, basically everything in between.
Very nice.
So that was actually, I would have liked to have gotten out and gone fishing a little bit today, but it was just, basically after the race weekend, I was a little worn out.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Hey, I want to ask you, you follow F1, I'm assuming?
I follow F1 to some extent. I'm more of an IndyCar boy, but I follow F1 to an extent.
Well, we talk about IndyCar. What's your take on the season so far? You know, Alexander Rossi had a dominating, God, that was a crazy win. I don't know, it was like 15 seconds or more. What about IndyCar?
I love the fact that every single weekend you don't know who's going to win. It's a toss-up. It's a complete toss-up. But, you know, I do think it's kind of interesting the last two races. I mean, you've kind of seen some dominant shows by, you know, kind of one driver, and it's kind of throughout the weekend you'll see, you know, they just kind of pull. And, you know, it's interesting. Dixon was making some comments I saw somewhere that, you know, maybe making the races a little longer and where strategy comes into play a little more, you know, and that is something where, you know, maybe that's something that could tie into Formula One a little bit to change that up, you know, as well.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is how they fit the television and all that. It's a great idea. I just, you know, how do you fit it in the 2 hours?
I certainly like the qualifying format of Indy. Do you, the way they do it?
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually, because it's not like a one-shot deal. I mean, so you have to be quick, and then, you know, then all the variables change again. You know, you could be really quick, you know, for the first qualifying session, and then, you know, Fast Six comes around, and maybe the track changes a little bit, and it suits somebody else better. So, you know, I think it's just another kind of thing that mixes it up a little, and that's what I love so much about IndyCar.
Here's another question, and people won't know this, but I want to get your take on this, and John, you won't know this. In his series, am I right in saying, or is it the F4? I think it's the fastest time of the race is your position for the next race.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it really changes. It changes the racing up a lot.
Three races in a weekend. Yeah. And that goes. So you qualify for the first race, and then the fastest time for the next for the next race is this.
You put them in that order.
So even if you have a bad day or you come off the track, you can then go just try to get the fastest lap in your pole.
It's like a spin on the fastest lap in Formula One now. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that.
Absolutely.
Actually.
And, you know, and it changes the racing in the way, too, that, I mean, if you're knocked down, drag out, fighting for a position, you know, third, fourth place.
You're not going
to
be that quick.
And you're not getting a lap time in. I mean, you could be starting close to the back of the field, you know, when there's other guys just putting down clean laps. So it definitely throws a different aspect into it. And with our tire allotment, it also changes that a bit sometimes. You know, like this weekend, we had to make a choice. We had, you know, two sets of tires for three races. So kind of had to think about, okay, where do we want to be good? Do we want to be good in race two and set a good lap and set up for race three? Or do we want to have that advantage in race three and you know, kind of maybe possibly suffer a lap time in race two? So it definitely throws a different mix into it.
A lot of strategy, isn't it? Yeah, it's really good. So we asked Josh Carr this, and I know you, because I think you told us this the other. He's driving a badass motor around Dallas.
Alfa Romeo Quadrifoglia, 505 horsepower. Yeah, what are you driving every day?
So I drive a Mustang GT, actually.
That's exotic.
But,
what
you know,
year? What
that's
year?
That's not bad. Hey, yeah, at least it's. I mean, Alexander Rossi told me he drove a Chevy Silverado. So I was like, okay, that's exciting. Thanks for sharing,
Alex. what year is the Mustang?
So it's a 2008, and you know, I've had it for a while now, and I gotta say, actually, it's been a really, really reliable car. You know, I've put, I think, 120,000 miles on it now, and man, it just keeps going, and I've definitely done some spirited driving.
Spirited. Oh, very good.
Yeah. Is that what you tell your dad? Stop driving spirited.
Hey, Dad, I was just out spirting.
it sounds, you know, the insurance company, the terminology.
Ah, yes.
It's a lot,
That's what he tells the insurance person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, our Haggerty sponsors aren't listening right now.
Haggerty's
sure.
one of our sponsors. You need to get. They're used to spirited driving. They understand that. So, hey, Austin Kazuba, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it, and good. I'm glad you had a good weekend, and best of luck moving forward.
Hey, let's get him to Pittsburgh. If anybody's listening, this kid's good. Come on,
We get him a sponsor. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I really appreciate you guys. It's always a pleasure coming on.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Austin. Thanks. See you soon.
All right. We're going to take a break, but before we do, I want to play something that came from the MotoGP conference. Les Kaiser was in the press conference, and he asked a question of all the riders, you know, from all over the world. Do we have that queued up? Yeah, let's hear that. Let's hear that.
You guys wear black Stetsons well. I got to hear a great howdy y'all from each of you.
Like a cowboy.
Yes.
Come
here.
Try you before.
Howdy, y'all.
Yeah. Howdy, y'all. Howdy, ho.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370.
Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder. Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder.
Hey guys, this is Shay Holbrook, driver of the number 67 in the W Series, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hey, by the way, I got to mention something that a press conference. That was Valentino Rossi. Instead of saying howdy, y'all, he said howdy ho or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's been down to Collins. He should have that down now.
I said this earlier when we were just you and I on the break. I said, man, I think Valentino Rossi seems like he could speak English better.
I think he does. I think he puts it on. For me, I'm very happy. Howdy ho.
Howdy ho. Howdy ho.
What the heck? That's new. That music. Howdy ho, y'all.
Yeah. That, by the way, that was Imagine Dragons, who's going to be at COTA for Formula One. And by the way, that is the tickets for Formula One go on sale this week on Tuesday.
Oh, great.
10 a.m. And by the way, of course, if you listen to Speed City, you know forever and ever and ever, we always give away lots of tickets to Formula One. So we're not going to give them away tonight, but make sure you listen to all of our shows.
Our survey said.
Including our pre- and post-Formula One shows. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out where you can hear those. But we do live every single Formula One race. We do a pre-show, and then the race comes on, and then we do a post-show, no matter what time of the night. Yes, last weekend, we were up from midnight to 4 a.m. At least I was, while you were in your bed, Jonathan, getting ready for MotoGP.
Oh, man. But yeah, I was sleeping, man.
When we walked out of here, I'm looking at the producer, Casey. When we walked out of here at 4:15 a.m. or whatever.
That's terrible.
It was terrible.
We were zombies walking out of here. There's one or two more this season like that, but yeah, we do a pre and post.
6 a.m. I think.
Yeah, 6 a.m. we start this. I'll tell you what, today.
Let's get Josh Carr on. I love that answer he had about Ricciardo. I thought that was really well put.
That was good. That's why I wanted to ask all these young drivers, you know, they follow all the motorsports better than we do, probably.
I gotta talk to Formula One, and there's a good segue here. I gotta tell you a story. So we've been talking to F4 and F3 drivers, right?
Yeah.
What would Vettel's worst nightmare be right about now?
What do you mean, besides the one he's living with Charles Leclerc?
Yeah, Charles Leclerc. Yeah, that, yeah. What if he had to do a second one? Guess who's just signed up as a junior driver for Sauber F1?
Oh, no.
Arthur Leclerc.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That
German
would
F4.
Be...
No, it is. It's a reality. Wake up.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's coming, and he's already signed to Ferrari, i.e. Sauber.
So two Leclercs.
Two Leclercs, but it's a chocolate Leclerc.
One in each rearview mirror.
Can you imagine? Poor old Seb. He's like, what? Why did you sign him? But hey, there's another one coming.
Yeah, and obviously he's fast. He wouldn't be signed.
No, it's really cool. What about that, though? What about that story that's starting to emerge between those two? You know, he's been robbed. There's been talk of the team orders.
Last week.
You know, this could be another undoing of Ferrari, and they've got another good car.
Gosh, I know, yeah. You know, you hate to say it, but Mercedes... you know, already won the first three races. And you hate to say that, you know, it's, of course, mathematically, there's tons of season left. I don't want to get anybody breathless here, but I mean, it's not a good start for Ferrari right now.
To be fair, Mercedes, we all too well, we know that they've said, hey, Bottas, you know, pull over, Lewis is quicker, whatever, in the past, especially in his first year. Maybe that dynamic's changing. We've got a really, I tell you, the inter-team battles all across the field.
Yeah,
are so good this year. But I think the four of them, the two Ferrari drivers and the two Mercedes one, we're going to be having a really interesting time.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be that's one of the best stories for sure in this season. You know, and I'm a little worried about my Haas F1 boys. I mean, they're still fast and they're looking good. But remember, they had a little trouble last weekend on Friday and Saturday. And then in the race, they started off good, but...
Azerbaijan next. That could be a good one for them. It's part track. It's part long straight, but really is absolutely round the streets.
Azerbaijan.
Yep. I said before China. You know, you really don't know what the prediction's going to be. But Azerbaijan's a weird one. It's around the streets. It's a tough
one. That's the one with the castle.
That's what it is, with the really tight flip-flop through there. And it's also, I think, isn't that where Vettel got on Hamilton's case and
zipped
him off?
Rammed into the side. Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was. I think you're right.
Yeah,
and that schedule is, it's a pretty early morning, Friday practice. Ooh, 4 a.m. our time. Practice one. And then practice two, 8 a.m. though. We'll get to see that. What?
I think I'm mowing the lawn that day.
Yeah, right. the qualifying Saturday morning, 8 a.m. That's perfect.
Oh, I'm all right for that.
Yeah. And then the race, 7 a.m. on Sunday.
No, I'll be there, man. Don't worry. I'm getting into this Formula One season. It's good.
I'll be knocking on your door at 8 a.m. Saturday morning going, hey, let's watch the qualifying together.
Okay.
And race 7 a.m. and we'll be on the air at 6 a.m. like we said. Whew.
And watch out for the W Series coming. Yeah, no kidding.
Stop it.
Let's cheer these girls on. Hey, we got three North Americans. Megan,
two Americans,
Gilkes, Shay Helbrook, and Sabre Cook. And I'm going to talk to Sabre Cook. The only reason she wasn't on tonight was that she's in the UK, and I'm going to speak to her this week. We'll get her on the show next week.
All right. Well, check out our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We do a lot on there, and we have a great SoundCloud account. Not everything makes it to air. We put interviews up on SoundCloud, so check it out. All right. We're going to run. Talk to you next week.
Happy trails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.